Welcome to the weekend. Each week, I invite a keynote Sandler trainer to discuss strategies to improve behaviors, attitudes, and techniques using the highly successful Sandler training system. This week, our guest trainer is John Shrum. John is not only was a Sandler trainer, franchise owner, but he has graduated to being one of our coaches in our home office. I'm just delighted to have John on the program. Welcome, John.
Oh, thanks, Jim. I sure appreciate being with you today. How's things in Boise?
You know, we are doing awesome. One of the things I like about having John on the show is he's a seasoned radio personality. So he runs his own radio show. In fact, give a little bit of pitch for the listeners so they have a context of where do you live and a little bit about your show.
Oh my gosh. Well, I do have a face for radio, so let's make that perfectly clear.
Amen. I do too.
And I'm in my 26th season of doing a home repair and remodeling show. And it's a live call-in show on Saturday mornings. Lots of Saturdays, Jim, where people call in from, you know, hey, listen, I'm starting a room addition, or we're getting ready to plan to build a house, or all the way to, hey, my toilet's running and I don't know what to do, and everything in between. So I never know, none of my calls are screened. And for the last 12 years, I've had the pleasure of my wife co-host with
me. Awesome.
And what she says, I make John sound even smarter. Because he knows nothing about that. And it's called The Fix-It Show, and it's aired at 10 o'clock Central Time. That's in Central Missouri, Columbia, Missouri, on KFRU and KLIK. So I'm regionally syndicated through Cumulus Broadcast.
Awesome. Well, we're sure glad to have you on the show today, John. We were talking a little bit about what are some of the strategies that you recommend or you see other people that you coach and mentor using to have a successful year. So talk to us about that.
Well, you know, I mean, we've got so many resources at our fingertips now, Jim, with, and especially with Sandler Online. I mean, literally, I think it's over 40,000 hours of content that is in there. And of course, we're going to add more today. But at the end of the day, if we come back to the success triangle or whatever it is that moves you forward to be able to do behaviors, really concentrate on your business. And one of the things that I have done and being part of Sandler for so many years, 17, 18 years now, it's just, it causes me to think a little deeper about where is it I want to go with whatever the particular topic is, whether it's attitude, technique, or behavior. And Jim, 2 years ago, I kind of got the thought that I would listen to common themes. So in 2015, one of the common themes it seemed like is people said, I want more. I just need more. I need more prospects in the funnel. Well, there's a plan that Sandler can certainly do that. And I know you're a big fan of cookbooking and developing spreadsheets. And I've seen some of your work, Jim, and it's amazing stuff. But you know, a lot of folks want the simplest thing. The little cue that they can think about every day. So I took the word more and I just made an acronym out of it. And it was pretty simple. Make a plan, organize your plan, review and revise your plan every 90 days, and execute your plan. So that was the acronym for 2016 or 2015 that I developed. Well, this coming year, and I got a lot of folks that used that and consistently revisited that thing with a lot of frequency.
Right.
2016, it seems not only on the Sandler side, because we launched the new learning management system called Sandler Online. And this was what version? Gee whiz, help me out, Jim, 3?
Yeah, 2 or 3, certainly.
Yeah, it's, and so I thought, and then I think about the consumers out there. And what occurred to me is it was a shift. There was a shift afoot, a shift in the way people bought things, a shift in the way people viewed training, a shift. I mean, just pick one. So what I did was challenge myself to use the word shift and make an acronym out of that every business owner I would challenge that listens to this really ask these questions very seriously. What are you shifting away from, or what is it that you need to shift away from? It could be behaviors, or you need to shift away from some mindset. And what are you shifting toward? And then to help out in some of that thought was, what systems need work? What habits need to change? What interference needs to be deleted? Where's friction occurring with your clients, with your employees, or wherever it may be? And then the fifth one is, where's traction going to come from going forward?
Love that.
So the shift pattern or the shift mindset was one of them that I came up with for 2018 here. And hopefully people can grasp that and use that within their organizations.
Yeah, I think that's awesome because most people get too involved working in their business instead of on their business.
Absolutely.
And working on your business really does require a shift. I've got to have the right systems. I got to have the right habits. I got to eliminate interference and friction. And I also have to find that traction. So what have you found, John, to be strategies that are consistent and helpful in achieving this? And one of them I would say you've already mentioned is just the frequency with which you're looking at and thinking through these processes.
Yeah, as you well know, Jim, people will make goals or establish goals. Salespeople establish goals, managers, sales managers, whatever it is, department heads, owners of organizations. And then it's kind of like, well, I got that done. And they put it on the shelf.
Right.
And you've heard it 1,000 times. We've seen it 1,000 times, if not more than that. And the main thing is, I think, keep it top of mind. To me, just the very fact, Jim, that you would think about it, grab it, and open it up, that's working on your business. I don't care if you spend 5 minutes on it.
Right.
That's working on your business.
Right.
And schedule the time. The biggest nemesis, I think, most owners, especially of Sandler franchises, but a lot of owners that I work with, and I've worked with hundreds of CEOs, presidents, and owners of companies. And I used to ask them, if I could grant you 2 things, the magic wand.
Yeah.
And they would say, make me more time and find me better people.
Huh, right.
And it was a very consistent theme. Well, if you want to make more time for yourself, then I suggest you get into the habit of scheduling your behaviors, scheduling your time, blocking it out in your calendar, and allow your calendar to be your brain. Don't let your brain do the thinking for you.
Yeah, a great system will makes a difference between success or failure. And having a time management system, in my mind, is really just about setting priorities. And I love what you said, John. If you'll make your calendar, make your schedule the priority, but you have to treat it. Once you've done that time blocking, you really have to treat that time as sacred. If you don't, you wasted your time in setting up the blocking. Your thoughts?
Well, absolutely. So here's the concept. Maybe this will resonate with some folks. Jim, if people build a budget, there's a famous talk show host from Tennessee, I'm not going to mention his name, but he says, spend your money on paper before you get it. So if you have some sort of consistent money budgeting thing that comes in, let's pretend you get $3,000 in at the first of every month, then you spend that before you receive it on paper. Well, I took that same application, Jim, and did it with time. I spent my time in my calendar in reoccurring appointments, static appointments, things that I knew that was coming up, that I spent my time in my calendar before I got it.
I think that is a great statement. I've never heard that. Spend your money on paper before you receive it. Spend your time on paper before you receive it. It's about planning, executing, budgeting. It just wraps everything you covered in shift in that one statement.
It really does. And selfishly, Jim, I had to do it for me. Mm. I mean, I'm a high D, I'm a move, follow, get the heck out of the way kind of a person. And I could literally, I mean, I can have, the average person has about 86,000 thoughts a day. I think I have about 186,000 thoughts. And I can't harness any of them, right? I'm like a BB in a boxcar. I just rattle around all over the place. So I had to be very, very structured because there's two distinct differences between money and time. You know what they are?
No, what are they?
You can always get more money. You can't make more time.
Boy, amen to that. That's a good place to bridge into our next segment. I'm Idaho's sales trainer, Jim Stevens. You can visit our website at www.crossroads.sandler.com and download our free book, Why Salespeople Fail and What You Can Do About It. This is Sandler Training, Finding Power in Reinforcement. Welcome to Entrepreneur Radio, where we get to learn more about my heroes as Business Society, independent business owners, managers, and leaders. I'm Jim Stevens with Sandler Training, and today I've invited Mark Thornton to be a part of our program. Mark has a background in serving associations and ministry, so we're excited to hear some of the things from his point of view that have led to success, maybe even some of the lessons, Mark, that you've learned along the way, the hard way. I think the best way to learn is by listening to the stories of other people who have been there, done that. We can gain from their expertise. So welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me.
I'm delighted to. So Mark, is give the listeners your vast background, all the things that you do for the Valley.
Well, I came here in 1984 to play football at Boise State as a defensive tackle. And so I've been here ever since. I love the Valley and have had the opportunity to serve in different capacities over these last 30 years. I've been a full-time in full-time ministry for 22 years now and 21 years on staff at Capital Church.
Wow.
Here in Meridian, formerly Capital Christian Center.
Oh, yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
And then part of FCA, on the board of FCA and Treasure of the Valley.
FCA
a Fellowship of Christian Athletes.
Right.
Yes. And
awesome.
So on the board of that and a chaplain right now for Boise State for the football team. And so
Oh, really?
That gives me an opportunity to just kind of minister to those young men and encourage them as well. So
awesome.
I do a little bit of everything.
Right. You're an entrepreneur's entrepreneur. Mark said, are you sure? I'm not really an entrepreneur, but I would say you really are because you've got your hand in many pots.
And a lot of things. I love to serve and I love to bring people together. I remember my first time to Africa, I looked down and because of drought, all of the animals were gathered together around the watering hole. And it didn't matter whether it was predators or prey. For a moment, they were all gathered together. And I kind of looked down and I'm thinking, this is the way it really should be.
Right, right.
You know, we should come together because we have more in common than we have apart. And so that's really kind of one of my missions is to facilitate that unity in the Valley.
And the other thing that I've learned about Mark is part of his vision is to really coordinate the efforts of business people and churches. So talk to us a little bit about that initiative.
Yeah, so the dream that you have, obviously you can have a vision, but the vision has to be financed. The vision has to be strategized. And I kind of try to explain it this way. If for those who aren't pastors, senior pastors, when they might not know how to formulate a sermon or might not be comfortable with giving a sermon, but they want to receive the sermon, so they go to the pastor so that he can give them the sermon. The same thing with a worship leader. It's like, oh, we don't sing very well, but we love the vessel of worship, so we'll go to the worship leader and let him craft that worship experience.
Right.
It's the same thing for business leaders when it comes to finances and a strategy that will help you propel the kingdom vision throughout the Valley. You've got to have some business-minded people. And so I want the business guys to do the business thing. I want
right.
the pastors to do the pastoral thing and the servants to do the servant thing. So everybody has their place, but together we're mighty.
Right. Working in tandem is such a key to success.
Yes, it is.
And you've got some events coming up. So share with us on April 21st, is it?
April 21st is our I Heart Treasure Valley Community Day of Service. And so that's the large service projects that we do from 10 to 2 on that day. We'll be all over the Valley from Boise to CUNA to Caldwell to Nampa to Eagle doing service projects. Some will be at schools. Some will be like painting the map on playgrounds at schools, painting the goalposts, cleaning out lockers. What we really want to do is provide service for those places or those people or even those churches. They might not have a bunch of people who can go out and serve, but they have needs. So I'm like, let's partner together. We'll bring some people from this school, some people from that school, some people from this church. But together, the goal is if we get 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 people out serving the community on one day for 4 hours, that's a great picture of what it means to come together in unity. Different backgrounds, different races, different denominations, some people of faith, some people not of faith, but we all come together to serve this great city, great community we live in.
And you mentioned a statistic about Idaho's participation in volunteerism.
Yeah, we're at the last census, and I believe that was the end of 2016, we ranked 6th in the nation in volunteer service hours. And I'm on a mission. I want to be first. And when I say I, that's the
that's
I in
us.
Idaho. Yeah, I'm like, we should be
Idaho.
First. Because I really think it's an expression of who we are as a community. I mean, it's a very friendly place. It's the most wonderful place I've ever lived in my life. And it's because of the people, because of the relationships. And so the unconditional love. And I think we do more of that. And, you know, we get back on the map in being first. We've already got these top 5 places to live and top 5 places to raise a family. What if we were the number 1 place in the nation for volunteer service hours?
That is awesome.
Yes.
Great, great calling. So share with our listeners, what is I Heart Treasure Valley?
So, and again, yeah, it's just a day of service. We want to go out and serve our community. And it gives people of faith and people of goodwill an opportunity to come in and serve. And again, meet the needs. I believe that we can restore a little bit of dignity to some areas that might need, you know, to dignity to be restored. We can go out and help some of the nonprofits that have needs. We can go out and help some of the churches that have needs. needs, the schools. For instance, we've gone in and painted the curbs on the handicap curbs back on schools because they didn't have the resources or the paint. We've cleaned off the gum from the desk and cleaned out the lockers because they have janitors, but the janitor can't do it all by itself.
Busy,
yeah,
right,
but I'm like, well, you've got kids that go to the school, so you're receiving from the school. Now let's go and give back to the school. Let's go and give back to the park. Let's go give back to the rescue mission. And people are serving. You know, it's not an issue that people aren't serving in the particular cities, but I'm like, on one day, we're going to turn the M in me upside down to a W in we, and we're going to do it together.
Love it. Give your website so that if somebody's interested in looking up, they can hear more about it.
Yeah, so our website is www.iHeartTreasureValley.org. iHeartTreasureValley.org.
And how often do you do this? Are these monthly or annual?
This is an annual event that we do, and just to kind of get the community together and serve. But what we're hoping is that it facilitates and helps instigate different service projects throughout the year. So you could, if I get three churches who don't fellowship together, they all have a heart for, let's say, a park, Optimist Park in Nampa. So they can come together and be like, hey, this is going to be an expression of our individual ministries at our church.
Nice.
Every quarter, we're going to go out and actually do something. And so one of the things we hope to do is not just bring together people to serve on that day, but to actually instigate some other service opportunities.
And is iHeart Treasure Valley an association?
iHeart Treasure Valley is a DBA underneath Treasure the Valley. So Treasure the Valley's kind of mantra is prayer, care, and share. And so we end up being the care portion of that. So we brought iHeart Treasure Valley underneath Treasure the Valley's 501c3 so that we had accountability, so that we had, you know, kind of wisdom. And we had a group of pastors and business people who could help us, you know, create, fulfill the vision and set it as well.
And your role is the executive director?
I am the director. I'm the dreamer. Yeah. So
awesome.
I dream a lot and they keep me in check.
All right. That's phenomenal. And I know that's not the only thing you're involved in. So tell us about some of the other offerings that you work towards supporting.
Well, at our church, we have a big Easter egg hunt. We just want to show generous, you know, uncommon generosity. And so it's actually the second largest Easter egg hunt in the nation. We have 102,000 eggs. There were 33,000 people. We've got skydiving Easter bunnies. We do that over at Kleiner Park. And so it's crazy. And we do it all for 12 minutes, really, to kind of share the gospel in a sense. And so, but it's great. If you haven't been, you got to come out. That's on the 31st, March 31st there at Kleiner Park. But then it's an amazing community event because, again, people come from all over the valley as far as Ontario and Payette and Twin Falls just to be part of this Easter egg hunt.
That's
so I'm the project director for that, project manager for that. This year, I've just come on board with God and Country as the program director and however that leads into. But so that's another big task.
Wow.
And I loved it because it serves, you know, what I believe God has called me to do as far as bringing the different churches, bringing the different denominations, bringing the different churches and businesses together to celebrate and show that, hey, we do have more in common than we have apart. And then my friend Nick Vujicic, he's got a ministry called Life Without Limbs, and so he's been here for the first two iHeart Treasure Valley events. Well, I'm bringing him back to speak at God and Country this year because in the fall, he will be bringing his tent. He's got an 8,000-person custom tent. He wants to do tent revivals, a week-long tent revival, and so he'll come and kind of share some information about that at God and Country, and then we'll be prepared for the tent when he comes in the fall, and I'm the city manager for that.
Wow.
And then
Then
football
awesome.
Season starts. I'm the chaplain for Boise State,
nice.
So that keeps me busy. And
that's
yeah,
awesome.
So it's a lot.
Yeah, so Nick's ministry is really incredible. Listeners, if you've not heard of him, just Google. What's his name?
It's Nick Vujicic, or Life Without Limbs.
Life Without Limbs,
yes.
And he's got some terrific videos, motivational talks. In fact, you were sharing with us some statistics about his visit to one of the schools
yes.
and the transformation. Tell that story.
Yeah, so he was here the first time he came in 2013, he spoke at Meridian Middle School, has the largest auditorium. So we gathered there and KTVB aired they broadcast that so that it could go across the state. But when he shared at Meridian Middle School, he gave a bunch of quotes and, you know, we're in the moment. So we weren't remembering all the quotes at the time, but apparently it impacted the principal, the teachers and the students there in such a way that they were they had the highest expulsion rate in the district. They had the bullying and drug use was rampant. And so after he came, I guess guess they ended up making T-shirts of all of those quotes, wrote a book with a bunch of different letters in it to thank Nick for what he's done in hopes that when he comes back, we're going to get it to him. Well, it turns out 4 years later, he came back last year in 2017. They got to share the story that they've now been one of the lowest. They've had the lowest expulsion rate in the district. The drug use and the bullying, and all of that has gone down. And so he implemented a culture with his message, because this is 4 years later. This is a 2-year school. So none of the kids in 2017 were actually in the school when he came in 2013. But his message had that type of an impact, which changed the culture. And I just love that the Treasure Valley, iHeart Treasure Valley, had an opportunity to make that happen. That's through our relationships and connections with him. And then just, you know, the schools opening up the doors to say, yeah, let him come in and speak.
And you got a phone call from him just this week.
A couple of weeks ago, I got a call from him that he was meeting with President Trump and Vice President Pence about possibly becoming the face of the anti-bullying movement throughout the nation. And what I loved, again, here's an evangelist. He has an opportunity to get into schools and places because of his, you know, deformities. He's got no arms, no legs, but he surfs, he skis, he golfs, you know, he does all of these things. And so his message is like, hey, if I can do it, you can do it. There's nothing that's really that bad. And he got bullied, he attempted suicide because of bullying, and God got a hold of him. And now he's just been on a crusade. It's like, I'm going to get these kids and show them that they have value and that they have worth. And so I'm thinking, man, if he becomes the face of the anti-bullying movement in the nation, you've got somebody who not only cares about these kids personally, he loves God, and he gets to share that they are valuable in God's eyes.
So iHeart Treasure Valley is significant in making that happen. And you all are looking for sponsors or donations?
We're looking
donations
for sponsors. Yeah, this will be our first year at the Taco Bell Arena. So the price point has gone up. And so we try to make it a free event as much as possible. But when you go to Taco Bell Arena for more space, you know, the price gets up. But we've got an artist coming in. A Colton Dixon is going to come in. So that price point has came. But we'd love to have sponsors. We're about halfway there right now. And so we would love to have some sponsors. There's Radio Time. You can get more information at the website as well. But yeah, anybody who has a heart for seeing the community come together and helping with these service projects, that would be great. And we're doing a backyard makeover for Teen Challenge. I don't know if anybody is familiar with Teen Challenge, but they've got a beautiful space. These girls are coming into an 18-month, possibly 2-year program away from home. None of them are from Idaho. They need to be loved. They've been at-risk kids. And so they've got a beautiful backyard space, but it's a little raggedy. And so we're just like, hey, we're going to come over here and we're going to do a backyard makeover. They're like, why? Well, because we love you and we care for you and we care for these girls that we don't even know. And so that takes businesses. I mean, I've got a company that will come in and excavate all the dead stuff up. But then, so we've got to find sod. We need people who, you know, will donate sprinkler stuff. We, you know, trees, bushes. We've got somebody who'll put in a fire pit. So we've got workers. Now we need resources to actually do these types of things. And that's what iHeart is all about. Let's go and serve some places that need to be served, might not have the resources. And so that takes businesses, that takes resources, as well as volunteers.
So if you're a listener and you'd like to donate, best way to do that is?
Just on the website, iHeartTreasureValley.org.
iHeartTreasureValley.org. So, Mark, is there anything else you do? Have we covered it all?
besides being on the board of Church of the Valley, I sing. I'm in a concert, a Sounds of Hope adoption concert with Dee Sarton tomorrow night.
Really?
Actually, so yeah, awesome. I do. You know, I kind of figure this, to whom much is given, much is required. And God is, you know, there's a lot of grace that's been applied to my life. And if I say, one of the things that I did in the video, I'm thinking, okay, I know how to love my family. I go out and I serve my family. I know how to love my favorite sports team. I'm a Boise State Bronco guy. You'll see me in Bronco gear. I know how to love my favorite restaurants. I go participate. I lend my money and my time to these places. But the thought is, how do you love a community? And we can say we love a community, but if we never go out and serve in that community, if we never give back to that community, I have to ask the question, do you really love your community? Do you want to make it better? Because we are what makes the Treasure Valley the Treasure Valley. It's not the trees and the rivers and the mountains. Those are beautiful, but it's the people who make the Treasure Valley the Treasure Valley. And so for me, just, you know, as Joshua said, that's for me and my house. You know, I'm thinking, if I love the valley, I'm going to go out and serve the valley. And so every opportunity that I have that we can come together in unity, that we can come together and serve, I'm there.
Awesome. My guest today is Mark Thornton. Mark, give your contact information in case somebody would like to give you a phone call or reach out to you.
So I'm at 208-870-3001. Again, that's 208- 870-3001. You can email me at info@iHeartTreasureValley.com, info@iHeartTreasureValley.com, and you can get all that information on the website as well, iHeartTreasureValley.org.
Awesome, Mark Thornton. And one more time, remind our listeners of the two events you have coming up, dates and times.
So Easter Egg Hunt is March 31st at Kleiner Park.
And where is that?
Kleiner Park is right behind the Village in Meridian, and Fairview, Eagle Road and Fairview. So that'll be fun. Great family event. You'll come out. Then the iHeart Treasure Valley event will be, the day of service will be all over the valley, but the celebration event will be at the Taco Bell Arena. This is April 21st. So we serve from 10 to 2. Then we come back and celebrate with a concert, a recap, show the service projects, scavenger hunt winners, and things like that. That's at 7 p.m. there at Taco Bell Arena down on campus. And then God and Country is on June 26th with Nick. And so it's going to be a busy three, four months, but it's going to be very rewarding.
And so you're even looking for volunteers who might want to help serve the community as
Absolutely, yes.
So any listener who's thinking, hey, I'll donate 4 hours.
Donate 4 hours. It's 4 hours. You got four hours.
Right?
Yes,
that's
you can come out and serve.
Mark Thornton, thank you for being a great guest. On Entrepreneur Radio, we share the stories of leaders and individuals who drive change to see how they've achieved success. You can hear from Mark, the way he's done it is by his enthusiasm, his energy, and his passion. If you like our content, visit our website at crossroads.sandler.com to see how we can help you. So far, I've been speaking with John Shrum, and John, we've been talking big picture about some things, time management. I love your acronym for SHIFT, really thinking about this year, what is your word theme? So maybe start us off by reminding us what the SHIFT acronym stands for, and then let's talk a little bit more about time management.
Thanks, Jim. Yeah, SHIFT is what systems need work, or what systems need to be developed. You can put it into your own words. I've just got some brief questions here. What habits need to change? This could go right back to goal setting. I used to get asked all the time by individuals, I don't know how to establish goals. I said, start with your bad habits. Those are the easiest ones.
Right.
That come, right? I mean, it's maybe, do you consistently show up to meetings late or just in time?
Yeah.
My father used to tell me, if you show up 15 minutes, 10 minutes till, you're about 5 minutes late to the appointment. Right?
Right.
So
right.
What habits need to change? And really, it's self-reflective here, Jim. You got to be careful. I mean, this may take some guts and humor
for you to
sit down, and you might need a hug from some nurturing parent when you're all done. And then you got to ask the question, what interference needs to be deleted? Maybe it's some grumpy employees. I can't tell you how many times I have visited with owners of organizations and said, well, I can't let such and such go because they bring in so much revenue, but they bring in so much bitterness and unhappiness every day. And the team around them just wants to stay away from them.
Right.
I think that's interference.
Right.
And that also leads me to my next one is, where's friction occurring? Because that could cause a lot of friction within an organization. And I know you've seen it, right? Haven't you, Jim?
Oh, absolutely. What are your core values? And are you really in line with them? Or is it lip service? And I love your point of, look at where your bad habits, or said another way, look at your hypocrisy, because that's probably where you're hiding some friction.
Now, Jim, I'm not going to go to the hypocrisy thing. I like mine better. If we bring in hypocrisy, we'll probably just end the show right here, because that one makes me really I understand what you're talking about. Well, I'll go back to goal setting 2001. I remember it like it was yesterday. And I can't remember what I did yesterday, but I remember 2001 when I was going through goal setting with my class as a Sandler franchisee. And I felt like such a hypocrite because I hadn't written any of my goals down. That was the last year I felt that way. And in January, I revealed that to them, but I also revealed to them some goals that I had written down because I didn't want to feel like a hypocrite. The other thing is traction. The fifth one, where are you going to get traction? Some people use a SWOT analysis. Some, I don't care what you use, but do it. Work on your business. Bring your team around. Ask your people, where do you think we can get some traction? And or where are we creating friction with our clients?
Yeah.
I mean, customer service and Sandler training can jump right in there and help your people with that type of training.
Yeah, you reduce that friction and you're going to have clients who are raving fans and clients for life.
Yes.
One of the things we covered, John, we were talking a little bit about how do I set my priorities straight? John, you suggested doing some time blocking, which is really prioritizing. Where am I going to spend my time? Introduce to the listeners the Sandler topic of pay time, no pay time. Because in my mind, when I first was introduced to this, probably in the year 2000, it really rattled my cage. And it helped me realize I didn't know what I was wasting my time on, so I couldn't stop it.
Yeah, Jim, I get it. And, you know, here's what I've found over the many years. I'm a list maker, right? Every day I write out just a short list of things that I want to accomplish for the day. I want to take care of those that are important to take care of today. I don't want them to turn urgent, right? It's that whole matrix thing.
Mm.
And here's one of the biggest things that I found that helped me over the hurdle. Most people, or a lot of folks, would put their tasks in their calendar. Mm. I suggest you don't do that.
Huh.
I suggest you look at it a little differently. I suggest you define 5 or 6 priorities that go onto your calendar. And that's it. So let's take a Sandler franchise, for example. My mantra for this, and I, again, it's something I developed for myself. You got to prospect, you got to sell, and you got to train and service your clients every day. Prospect, sell, and train, and never get them out of order. I would suggest people that are out there listening to this that may not be involved in Sandler, I suggest you look at those 3 priorities and never get them out of order. So case in point, you land a new client. They got a lot of folks. They need a lot of things. What's going to happen to your prospecting calendar?
Going to get weak.
It's going to get weak because you're going to start servicing that client.
Yeah.
I suggest you keep your prospecting time on your calendar the same as it always was. Have selling appointments on your calendar the same as it always was.
Right.
And here's where people always stop me. But John, wonder if I don't have any selling appointments. Block the time in. You know what a selling appointment takes. Is it 90 minutes? Is it 2 hours? It depends on your geography. If you've got to drive a long way, I get all that. But block it in. And then when you're on the phone with the prospect, you give them that killer 30-second commercial. They grant you a couple of minutes. You throw a couple of pain hooks out. The next thing you know, they invite you in and you say, hey, how about Tuesday from 10 to 12? I've got that time open, which means I've got it blocked into my calendar.
Right, right. I love that.
Go ahead and schedule. So those are 3 priorities, prospect, sell, and train. Then here's the other thing, and I'll go to our Sandler's formula for success, and it always says know your numbers, know your product knowledge, know those types of things. So let's take know your product knowledge, block into your calendar education, a time where you're going to sit back, you're going to close the door in your office, you're going to do whatever it takes, but you're going to sit there and you're going to listen to Sandler Online, or you're going to listen to Jim's podcast about this. You're going to make a few notes, educate yourself, sharpen that saw once a day. Make sense?
I think that is so vital because too often we get so stuck being the firefighter that we don't take time to realize that, you know, really you were the arson that set the fire because you didn't take time to plan to avoid the fire. And it always makes me think of what we really need is we need to be the fire marshal. The fire marshal is the guy or gal that shows up and says, here's how we avoid fires. And then now because I'm being proactive with my calendar, I'm being proactive with my time management and blocking, instead of being a victim, if you will, of my environment, I'm creating the future that I want one day at a time.
Right. So there was the fourth one. So now let's summarize real quick. Prospect, sell, train, and educate. Educate yourself. There's the fourth one. The fifth one is do your administrative work. Manage your numbers. Look at your accounts payable, your accounts receivable. Cut checks, sign checks, whatever. If you're a solopreneur, you got to block that time in.
Right.
Right. Right? But that's stay on the right side of the trouble line. If it's key prospecting time, 2 o'clock in the afternoon or 3 o'clock, my belief is CEOs and owners of companies start their day at their desk and end their day at their desk. Mm-hmm. I think all of that other time in there, that's good networking time. It's good time to service the clients. It's those priorities that can set stage there. It's beyond those selling appointments. But at the end of the day and the beginning of the day, keep that for that prime prospecting, the phone work or whatever you may be doing. So the fifth thing is accounts payable, or I call it administrative. Mm-hmm. And now I'm going to introduce some colors. When you're blocking this into your calendar, you prospect, sell, train. Prospect is always yellow in color. Hmm. Sandler said it's the key to the yellow brick road, right? It was a Wizard of Oz thing. And that's where I stole that. I freely stole that from David Sandler. And then the selling appointments, block them in green. Huh. Going after the money, right?
Going after the gold. Love it. Yeah.
That's right. And guess what color I tagged to my training? A little different yellow color, because I was always attempting to show people something else that we had to offer.
So it's using training time to also sell.
Well, or to at least prospect, or in our terms, get somebody in pain. Right?
Love that. Love that.
Possibility. And then educate is that light brown. I always did it over lunchtime because I never stopped to eat lunch. I would just go, 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 go. And then 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I hit the wall. You know, I'm tired. So I'd eat some yogurt or some celery or something like that, listen to Jim Stevens online and really get fired up, take a few notes, educate myself. And my hunch is you're going to have to take a break.
Absolutely right. My guest today is John Shrum. Really delighted to have John on the show. And I'm Idaho's CEO of Sandler Training, Jim Stevens. If you like this show and want to subscribe to our contact, visit us at crossroads.sandler.com/podcast. Or reach out to us at 208-429-9275. This is Sandler Training, finding power in reinforcement. John, so far we've been talking about some of the conceptual things required to be successful at managing pay time, making sure we're blocking time in our calendars, having a priority. You gave us a quote earlier I really loved, which was, spend your money on paper before you receive it. And the same applies to time. Spend your time, aka block your time, schedule your time before you receive it so that you can own your own future. So let's talk about what are some of the self-limiting beliefs that we need to eradicate. The friction, if you will, that's keeping us from really owning our own future and owning the management of our time.
Well, Jim, I think it's a very insightful observation and question that you bundled in there. And I think it goes way back to a lot of hard wiring. And, you know, I think it all ends with apostrophe T.
With the what?
Apostrophe T.
Apostrophe T?
Yeah.
What do you mean there?
Oh, I can't do that. Oh, that won't work. Oh, I've never done it that way. I think it all ends with apostrophe T. I really think that in the true sense of the word, it's, well, I've never done it that way, right?
Yeah.
That won't work. And the first conceptual challenge I have to everybody out there, delete apostrophe T words from your iTalk.
Nice.
And your self-talk.
Yeah.
And your out loud talk.
Right.
They have negative connotations that only cause negativity.
And they have power. I mean, you say I can't, or in fact, I like I won't better than I can't. At least you're not lying to yourself. You know, you're making a choice not to, but still getting to that point where you, rather than seeing the world as finite and scarce, see it as more abundant. What would happen if?
That's right. I love that. So I would say conceptually start there. And when you're journaling, you know, whether you're doing an AB journal in Sandler, everybody understands that attitude behavior journal, or if you're just a free journaler, journal about the things you need to delete from your vocabulary.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, by the time we're 18 years old, if you were raised in a functional family of a couple of siblings, you heard the word no before you were 12 years old, like 150,000 times. It's, you know, you'd reach for something and mom or dad or both of them would both scream out, no, don't do that, you know. And we have these tapes that are just reeling in our heads, and tonality can trigger them. I mean, there's so many things. So I suggest when you're talking to yourself, only talk to yourself in a very nurturing way, kind of like mom did, or any nurturing adult authority figure that was in your life. There was that one that you always sought refuge to, that you knew you were going to feel better when you walked away. Well, you can develop that same type of
So having that self-nurturing approach gives me the ability to be a better caretaker than to be an accuser. And I know my self-talk, John, when I do something wrong or when something isn't working, it's razzum, frazzum, razzum, rat, you moron. Why did you let that happen?
Yeah.
And to your point, it's just not healthy.
It's not productive.
And it harkens back to, I mean, where does that come from? Well, probably from my early childhood. What did I hear every time I didn't do something right? Mm-hmm. And it's just reinforcing and almost attaches us to that negativity.
So I think from a tactical aspect of things, Jim, I think of some items that definitely people could grasp onto and really take control of it. If you do nothing for the next 30 days, take some of the things that we've talked about here today and start journaling about those things. Now, here's something else. I found two other words in the vocabulary, and they don't end with apostrophe T's, but have you ever gone to somebody and asked them to finish a project and their comeback to you is, oh, Jim, thanks a lot. Yeah, I'll try to get to that tomorrow.
Yeah.
I figured out that's a code word for I never intend to do that until you ask me to do it again.
That is so true.
And then you go back to them and you say, hey, John, hey, remember that little project I wanted you to head up and take a look at the other day? And say, oh, Kim, I hope I can get it done Thursday. And so hope is an excuse in advance of something you never intend to do.
I heard somebody say the drug of choice for salespeople is hopium.
Oh, yeah. That was made famous in initial training during Hamish Knox about 6 years ago when it came through. And hopium. Don't take hopium. It's the most addictive drug for salespeople. It's worse than crack. But I got to go back to time, Jim.
Yeah, please.
And I got to bring up one more priority that's got to go on the list. And I'm so thankful that I remembered it before we close the show out. Number six priority, free will.
Ooh.
Free will. I don't care if it's 15-minute blocks, 30-minute blocks, one-hour blocks. Give your brain a break. Don't schedule your time so tight that then if one little thing goes wrong, which it probably never happens in your life where everything stays on schedule all day long, right?
Right, right, right.
You got to schedule some of that flex time. I call it free will.
Yeah.
You know, I just like the concept of free will. Doesn't everybody want free will?
Yeah. I'm guilty as charged here because I will stack my day so tight, I'd never have time for anything. And it's that lack of margin. When something goes awry, now you're spun out of control. And as soon as you get emotionally hooked, you've just lost the day.
You just lost the day. All the apostrophe T words come out of your mouth.
Yeah.
Plus some other superlatives and et cetera. And here's the thing that may be creating some friction within the organization. Let's pretend that that overlaps and that causes a ripple into an appointment with a client, a very important, or it's a sales appointment,
right?
You know, and it's where people are expecting you to come with your best. And if you're allowing stuff like that to derail you, I got to ask, are you an I-10 all the way? Really?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great point. And I think to your point earlier, John, we've got to figure out how can I take out the trash? We have this thing in Sandler, we call it an upfront contract. I've amended that for a personal application. I call it the event transition upfront contract. So when I'm transitioning from one event to the next, I've got to reset my head. Because if I let my past, whatever I was working on, cloud wherever I'm going in the next meeting, it's not going to be healthy. So there needs to be that moment or a fraction of time where we just wipe out our brain and get back to a neutral point. Any suggestions on how to accomplish that, John?
Well, yeah, I think we're walking around with tethers. You know what a tether is, right? I mean, everybody's tethered. If we really had an image of all the tethers that were streaming along behind us during the course of a day, right?
Yeah.
Your feet hit the ground, maybe the phone rings, an employee's going to come in late or whatever it may be. There's a tether.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, you're tethered. And here, I think it's like putting plows on racehorses. They just don't get very far around the track. And I just really challenge people, think about that for a minute. And what kind of interference, what kind of friction is that causing within your organization, within your family, for crying out loud, right? Mm. Late for supper or whatever it may be. Not trying to put a guilt trip on anybody out there, but these are things that I recognized early on in my life that I needed to change.
Yeah.
Period. And these are some of the things that I kind of came up, and I still do it 18, 19 years later. I still think this way. That's how Sandler's changed my life.
Right. It becomes a permanent way of being, not just what you do.
Yes, sir.
My guest today is John Schramm. John, really appreciate your insights. This is Jim Stevens with Sandler Training. If you'd like to receive my weekly tip on how to jumpstart your professional development, sign up at crossroads.sandler.com. This is Sandler Training, finding power in reinforcement. Welcome back to the Sandler Training Hour. I'm with Sandler trainer and coach John Schramm. John, we've been talking about, we've covered a lot of material today, and I'm reminded of a situation. Let's see, this must have been, I don't know, 5-6 years ago. I was sitting at a table.
We were in California, weren't we?
Yeah, we were. I was sitting at a table with some other folks, and I had made a comment to someone that in my own charming, quippy mind, it sounded really clever. And then I got up to go to the bathroom, and lo and behold, John walking behind me and he puts his arm around me and he says, Jim, you know, I couldn't help but notice your conversation in there. And I've got a suggestion for you, only if you're willing to hear it. And I'm thinking, well, I'm not sure I am, but how do you say no to that? So I said, okay, what? Well, I think, Jim, before you ever say anything, I would recommend you use this motto, first thought wrong. And then there's this pregnant pause, and I'm trying to figure out, what is he really talking about? First thought wrong? And then he interrupts my thought and says, and one other thing, Jim, for you in particular, I would add a second motto to that. And I would say, second thought, most likely wrong also. That is some great advice that has served me really well. Mostly, John, it serves me really well after I forget it. Damn, I wish I'd have said.
Yeah, it's the stimulus response modality. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. So how do we,
Jim, you know, and I'm not going to make this as a carte blanche statement, but my belief is, or part of my belief is, and I've been doing a home repair and remodeling show for 26 years. I fix things.
Right.
If we go all the way back in time and your education in your construction, where I'm a journeyman carpenter.
Right.
I mean, you know, if we really go in, we fix a lot of things. We build things.
Right.
And I think many men are fixers.
Right.
You know, I remember the story of the guy, the lady comes home and she comes in the house and says, my garage door opened, or the garage door didn't open. And so the guy's just like, oh man. All right. So he's out. And next thing you know, it's an hour and a half later. And he comes in and he says, I can't find anything wrong with the door. And he said, would you describe to me what's going on? And she goes, yeah, when I press the button on the thing. And so he goes out and switches the battery out in the garage door opener and it works fine. And so I think our stimulus, our response, we got to put that delay in there. And it goes back to the Sandler system of questioning strategies. I mean, we could go into, you know, getting pain conversation, active listening, ask those questions, put time between the stimulus and the response.
Right.
And I really think, because just the way men are wired, most men, the first thought is typically incorrect. And chances are the second manifestation of that thought is incorrect also. And I think in some circumstances, it may be even the third and the fourth.
Right.
So you may be quiet a long time.
Yeah. Well, you know, they say nobody ever or listen their way out of a sales call. We generally talk our way out of a sale. And I think having that moment to pause and really think, theoretically, I think it'd be very helpful. I know I'm a fixer like you're describing, John. And when somebody gives me a problem, I just assume they're telling me that because they want me to fix it. And now I'm going to jump in with repair mode and they may not even be interested. In fact, if you want to watch a very clever video, Google, it's not about the nail.
Oh, yeah.
It's not about the nail. It's a great little video that shows that people really want to be heard more than they want to be fixed.
Yeah. But you know what? There's something they don't say in that little video. I found something out about nails many, many years ago.
What's that?
They like to be hit. So
let me fix that nail. Yeah, don't they say, John, if the only tool you have is a hammer, everything looks like a nail.
That's right. That's right.
And I think the one thing that Sandler did for me is help me stop making the assumption that I was right.
Oh.
Because I always thought of myself as the expert. So when somebody would bring to me their problem, hey, I'm the expert, I'm going to fix it. But my wife told me this. She said, you know, Jim, you may be the expert in the subject matter, but you're not the expert in the person you're talking to.
That Joni is a wise lady.
Isn't that right? And you have to earn the right to give some input by really listening and making sure you become an expert with the subject matter of your prospect or client.
Yeah, we just got to bring them in, and then you can talk about NLP and all of those. But if there's one thing that somebody could take away from the last segment of the show here, is that just to be genuinely engaged and curious.
Love that.
Right? And genuinely, I think if you remain curious, you won't step on somebody's words. You won't be overthinking them.
Yes.
Right? If we remember, if we're asking questions, and it's the whole concept of we speak about 150 words a minute, the brain thinks at about 450 words a minute. We've got to stop the brain somewhere along the way there. And the only way I know to do that, Jim, is to ask it a question.
Love it.
Yeah. Is that fair?
Asking the question throws the ball to them, and
that's
it buys
right.
you a little bit of time.
It buys you a little bit of time, but do it with genuine curiosity.
Mm.
And to me, I think that's where, and I fall flat on that sometimes.
Yeah.
I mean, my D will kick in and I'm thinking I'm 850 words a minute
right.
thinking down the line. I know how to fix this. We can take care of it. Blah, blah. Right?
Right.
And my ears have folded up and gone inside the head. It's kind of like my 12-year-old used to do when I was talking to him.
Right. Tune you out.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
So, John, you've been involved in Sandler. Tell us a story. How you started out as a franchise owner and then became a coach. What's your history?
Well, actually, it goes back before then. I actually sat in classes for about 2 years before I bought the franchise. And then bought the franchise, started doing my due diligence in 2000, closed the deal with the folks in Baltimore in 2001, was tapped and asked if I would consider being one of the corporate coaches because one of the coaches was retiring. And there were a number of other people threw their names in the hat. And I said, absolutely, I would be interested. And then in August of 2007, I was asked if I wanted to come on board. And part of that process was to sell my franchise. And I closed on that with one of my associates in 2008. And then that continued to operate for a couple of years. And then that franchise here in Columbia, Missouri, ultimately ended up closing the doors because my associate went on to a CEO of an organization.
Awesome.
That she was offered.
Awesome.
Very handsome job there. And so, golly, this coming August, 11 years if my math is right.
So 20 years altogether, knowing and using the Sandler system. So after 20 years, you know, you would think that is the two of us with the shortest attention span we have, we'd have gotten bored and moved on. What is it that keeps us so passionate and so involved, do you think?
I'm looking at you on my computer screen. it's the family, the Sandler family. You know, Jim, we've got the client summit is getting ready to come up here in March. It's just around the corner. We'll all be in Orlando. And the story tells me that we're going to have over 900 clients so far, maybe even peaking out at 1,100 of our clients. And I look across the room and it's watching people's success.
Mm.
That's really my feeder.
Mm.
I went through an exercise many, many years ago called Do Be Have. What is it you want to do? What is it you want to be? What is it you want to have? And mine was pretty simple. I figured it out after only 2.5 months of journaling. It was very complicated process going through it. What is it I want to do? I want to help people. What is it I want to be? I want to be the person my dogs think I am. And number three, what is it I want to have? I want to have peace of mind knowing that I did whatever I possibly could to those first two things. I look out across that crowd and I see the Jim and Joan Stevens pick up the awards, and I see the managers of organizations of your clients pick up their awards, that's a charge for me. That's one of the biggest paydays.
It really is. I love what you said. Do be have. One more time through those. What did you want to do? What did you want to be? And what did you want to have?
Yeah, what I figured out after a lot of journaling, what I want to do, and I think the good Lord put me here on this face of the planet, is to help you, period.
Yeah.
Plain and simple. Whether it's personally, professionally, it didn't matter. It was one of those. What did I want to be? I want to be the person my dogs think I am. And that's a tapestry. It's hanging right onto my door. When you come in my door, on my office door, I can see it right here where I'm sitting. It's a tapestry. It says exactly that. And what is it I want to have? It wasn't anything material. It was just simply peace of mind.
Awesome. John Shrum has been my guest. Thank you, John, so much. You've been a terrific guest today.
Thank you very much, Jim.
And thank you so much, listeners, for inviting us into your world. I'm Jim Stevens, and my calling is to challenge people to resist the status quo. Are you frustrated because you're living with just good enough? Do you feel forced to accept chaos and volatility in daily business and customer relationships? Or are you anxious about your career of trial and error, learning the hard way? If you're ready to stand up to the insanity of programmed living, call me at 208-429-9275. That's 208-429-9275. Have a great weekend, and remember, if you measure it, you'll manage it.